Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Bart Scott, it's hour number three. What's that mean?
That means, Alan, it's the power hour. The power hour.
It is the power hour, is it not?
It is.
It certainly is. And we got your calls again, 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So yesterday when we were actually finishing up the show, there were reports, or a report from a very reputable reporter covering the NBA a long time, Mark Stein, who had been talked to a high-ranking NBA official or executive. And this person said that Kevin Durant was so against playing for the Nets that he would rather retire than play for the Nets. And it's like, you know, like when it reaches that point where it's like, all right, there's only so much I could take before I finally say something. So Durant went to Twitter yesterday and he said, I know most people will believe an unnamed source over me, which unfortunately in today's society is true. But he said, but if anyone is out there that'll listen, I don't plan on retiring anytime soon. And this is comical at this point, is what he adds to this. Durant, I feel like, continues to be ridiculed. And it's, I don't think he should be the source of the ridicule. He doesn't like that. Now, again, the story about him going to the owner and saying, you know, you got to fire the GM, Sean Marks, fire the coach, Steve Nash, or move me. It's like one or the other. I mean, I don't love that, of course. This is sort of the house that you built, and now you don't want to live in it.
Right.
But he also had that meeting privately. Like, I don't think this stuff's coming from his side.
Yeah.
So you could say a lot of things criticizing Durant, and I don't agree with most of it. Him going to the Warriors, I don't find that to be... Like, are you a moron? Like, if you had the opportunity and the Warriors had cap space, and they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you as a teammate, and they're as good as they've been, you're going to say, nah, I'm all set. And of course you are. Of course you're going to go there. You want to play for championships. You want to do that. So you go there and you play. Now, him going to the Nets following Kyrie Irving, that's the bad look. Of all the things you want to criticize him for, tweeting at fans and talking, engaging people and, you know, having those back and forths, and sometimes it's aggressively worded. I don't criticize him for that. That's basketball. That's what people do. We talk. In fact, I like the fact that more athletes would do something like that instead of saying nothing or acting like they're so above everybody. KD doesn't do that. You want to criticize him for, you know, choosing to go to Brooklyn. And also wearing shoes that are just a little too big. Because that cost them a playoff series. But aside from that, Bart, like, I don't have a problem with this. I kind of like that he went out and said this. But it does take away whatever leverage he might have had. Because if he's going to show up for training camp and play and not sit out and not cause a problem and certainly not retire, if you're Brooklyn, what's your motivation to trade him? You have none. Zero motivation to move him.
Yeah, even if he gives you 85% or 75% of KD, with Ben Simmons and with Kyrie Irving, who should be motivated to try and get a contract next year with somebody to show that he's not a huge distraction, you know, as his contract's going to run out, you know, you take advantage of that. That's enough to be, you know, fourth or fifth in the league. And I feel like if you start playing, and once he starts playing, that competitive juices come, and he's just going to be who he always is. You know, and maybe they have some type of agreement like Aaron Rodgers had, mm-hmm. where, hey, I'll give you another year, man, and get me out of here. I'll give you everything I got.
Well, maybe it also, too, is they can carry into the season and they just see how things go and maybe better offers come their way. Anything could happen, of course.
You know,
he doesn't really want to be there, but you got to play. You play and with the idea of, but I'd rather not. I'd rather be somewhere else. And if you're Brooklyn, you just get to that point where, all right, somebody eventually is going to offer something that is worth our while and then it's worth doing it. But right now, there's nothing. There's nothing out there that the Nets feel like is a comparable trade that makes sense to them. Go ahead.
Are we maybe overlooking a team?
What team?
Maybe are we not overlooking maybe the Denver Nuggets? You think that is something that can work? You know what I mean? Jamal Murray.
I have not heard that team as a team that would have any type of interest at all.
But I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? Jokic and KD together.
Mm.
Right,
I mean, KD with anybody would be crazy.
That's what I'm saying. But
there's a lot of scenarios you can look at, Bart, and say, "Boy, what a great!" Like he's the type of player that you could say is a great fit anywhere.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about superstars, right? I'm just thinking about how do you pair him with
pairing him up.
Like it's like who do you get? Like we all say that Jaylen Brown is probably the best player that they can get, but Jamal Murray
Anthony Davis is the best player they can get. Let's make that clear.
Yeah, but that's
the Lakers won't do it because Clutch probably won't allow it. But Anthony Davis is the best player that the Nets could get for Kevin Durant. That's it. I firmly believe that. There's no other player that would be a trade that you would make and say it makes sense for both sides. Yeah. But it won't happen. It's crazy, but it won't happen.
So for the last 10 years, probably the consensus 1 and 2 basketball players in the league team up together on the same team, and then you just let the Brody just be the Brody.
No, you include Russ, and you get Kyrie in the deal. Now you have KD, Kyrie, and LeBron.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Hell no. Hey, ain't nobody letting that happen. Hell no. Hell no. That's cheat code. Hell no.
If you're the Lakers, you would say no to that. If I told you you had to give up Anthony Davis, a couple of firsts, and we'll take Russ because we'll just buy him out, but at least I got Anthony Davis and Ben Simmons now, and you're telling me that if you're the Lakers, you're like, no way we're doing that. You just said it, hell no. You know that means they'll get one more chip. Yeah. One more. They'll get it.
Yeah. That's going to be it. The future of the team is... Well, no, you still got Kyrie.
Not really. You're like Anthony Re-sign Davis is Kyrie. The oldest 28-year-old in the league.
So they just take like the Nets West. They become Nets West, right? Because there's going to be Kyrie and KD,
right,
building a squad after LeBron retires. They'll probably be able to get Bronny to play for the Lakers now because he'll sign an extension. It'll be the starting four: Bronny, Kyrie, LeBron, and Durant.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Actually, I got it wrong. Anthony Davis is the oldest 29-year-old in the league. He's not young anymore.
Yeah.
AD is not he's not young.
And he's like a 7-footer, man. Those guys never really age well.
Well, and him especially because of all the injuries and stuff. But you might think I'm crazy, and I've brought this up a million times.
I would do that.
But I would that's the one I would entertain as the most realistic, best move for both sides kind of trade. Because I don't think the Celtics want to move Brown at all. I don't think they want to do it. So I'm completely eliminating that as a reality. Although I guess I don't think the Lakers want to move AD because I don't think Clutch wants that to happen. No. I don't think they want their guy out of LA. But if we were just making trades like on a trade machine, you're telling me that an Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook for Kyrie and KD deal gives the Nets at least a guy in Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I need them two first rounds.
That you could argue is, you know, at when he's healthy at best, is a top five player in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get a couple of firsts as well.
He's
and
Giannis.
Then the Lakers get...
He was basically Giannis.
I mean, the Lakers get LeBron and Kevin Durant on the same damn team.
Yeah, that's... No, I don't know.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know if I like
and
that.
And you're the Lakers saying, nah, we're all set. And then Kyrie, just throw Kyrie into the mix of that as well.
No,
you're all set as a Lakers fan? Oh, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, I'm taking
You're crazy.
That. I'm taking that.
Man, give me a reason. Like, somebody give me a reason why you wouldn't trade Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant.
First of all, I like that better than I like a KD better. KD's better than Anthony Davis right now, man. Like, that's an upgrade.
Mm. Brian Windhorst, though, gives us the latest on the KD situation.
I think the Nets think they've got a good team. I think they believe that they're healthier now, that they've added some defense, that Ben Simmons is going to come back, and he might be able to play center and open up a whole new bunch of options for them. They think that they're going to have a good team. And they believe if they can't get a trade that keeps them at that level, why not just try to run it back? And even if Kevin Durant gets to the start of training camp and doesn't want to come because he's trying to still force that trade, they're still not ending the belief that they can still convince him. And that's the bottom line. This is not a team that's tearing down looking to rebuild. This is a team that honestly believes, whether you think it's crazy or not, that they can compete for a championship this year. And so they're not going to yield. And they've made that position very clear.
No, Bart, you said that early in the show, right? Like, you looked at it like, you know, the Nets, that team, they're not playing on Christmas Day, which is interesting.
I would love to see them against 49.
But that's a team. You got a good, it's a good roster.
Yeah, man.
Sean Marks built a good team.
Bringing Claxton back, you know, to the point, you know, Ben, depending on what centers you're going against, mm-hmm. playing a little center, you know, playing a little power forward when you go against Giannis, that matchup there. I mean, he makes them a contender. Then Royce O'Neal, you talk about wing defense. You still got shooting with Curry. Mm-hmm. You got Curry and Harris. If he can come back and be healthy, now you got shooting.
You got some good shooting, yeah.
With KD and Kyrie, who's already good shooters. So everybody's live when they're out there. Except maybe Claxton and Ben Simmons.
The only liability this team has really is Steve Nash in moments where he's got to make good decisions down the stretch. He just does not do a good job.
That's why you need to go hire a great guy who just got fired to be an assistant coach. He needs an assistant coach. To kind of basically be the head coach and help him out in those pivotal moments.
Or you bring in Mark Jackson. You do that too. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got your calls coming up. And also, with the 49ers, while Jimmy G is kind of just out in no man's land waiting to find out wherever the hell he's going to go next, Trey Lance now takes over. The new era begins there. And is he being slept on? What some people are saying about his potential this season. But first, Bart has this from Vivid Seats.
The 2022 baseball season is in full swing, and you can be there to catch all the live action with Vivid Seats. Get to the ballpark and experience every home run, every web gem, every walk-off. And with Vivid Seats Rewards, you'll start earning free tickets from the very first purchase. Buy 10 tickets, get the 11th one free. That's like getting 10% back on every ticket. From the box seats to the bleachers, Vivid Seats has you covered with tickets at great prices all summer long. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But also something to keep in mind, again, the NBA schedule released tomorrow, so we'll get an idea of all the opening nights and everything else. We got a sense of the Christmas Day slate. We don't have the times, though, but the NFL plays the same day. And you've got, listen, so the NBA matchups are Bucks Celtics, Sixers Knicks at the Garden, Suns Nuggets, Lakers Mavs, and Grizzlies Warriors. The NFL schedule that day, Packers Dolphins at 1,
ooh.
Broncos Rams at 4:30, and Bucks Cardinals is the game on NBC at night.
Yeah, ain't nobody watching no basketball.
I mean,
they might
that's
watch
some good ones.
They might watch a little bit of the Knicks because the Knicks probably going to be at 11:30.
You know what I mean? I actually think the Celtics might be at noon. The Bucks Celtics will be at noon. The Knicks Sixers, because that might get a bigger audience, could be the 3:30. And Lakers Mavs, you know, will be like an 8. And then the Grizzlies Warriors. Warriors will always be that late game, the 10:30. And you know, Grizzlies Warriors, now remember that up the chimney stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, John Morant and company.
And they wanted it. They said they wanted it.
That's
they've been rent free in their head.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a
fun one. I wonder what Wiseman is going to be. If Wiseman can stay healthy, I want to see how he can contribute and if he's the truth.
Yeah, no, that's true. But one thing to keep in mind, as you know, there's MLK Day games. There'll be that slate as well to watch, as the NBA always likes to play on that game and has for a very long time. But one day they will not be playing is November 8th. That's Election Day. Mm. And the league put out a statement saying that they're doing this because they want to have a focus on promoting nonpartisan civic engagement and encouraging fans to make a plan to vote during midterm elections. So they will not play a game on Election Day. Now, you can say, like, you know, oh, I couldn't vote because I had a game to watch. Like, the point is just remove one more excuse.
Right.
Like, don't blame us. We're off that day. So we want everybody out voting. So that's because, and also, that's one day they will not play.
And also in a greater sense, just think about how many employees won't be able to go vote because they have to go work. So it's not just about the fans. It's also about their workers and too being able to be able to exercise their civic duty and still not worry about not being able to, you know, go to work.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So you have that. So that's what's going on. But again, we'll have more on the NBA schedule tomorrow. But let's get to a call here because it's an interesting topic that I've heard now making the rounds. And this is Alfonso in Raleigh. Alfonso.
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. Just wanted to give you a call during the power hour.
Yes, sir.
And let you know that Trey Lance is Weapon X this year, guys. Look out.
Weapon.
We have all the pieces.
X. Wow.
Yes,
like he,
sir. Weapon
this
X.
Dude has played, how many college games has he played total? Has he played 10? 13? Like he has not played a lot of college games. He obviously didn't play a ton last year, Alfonso. Thanks for the call. But Alfonso's not the only one saying this. Bart, take a listen to obviously a friend of the show. We love Chris Canty. And from Candy and Carlin, which you can hear after our show on the National Network. And you can see him on Get Up a lot, too. Bill Barnwell said he thinks that Trey Lance could actually be an MVP candidate this year.
Come on.
And Canty co-signed.
MVP caliber season.
Yeah, I think that's what we can expect from Trey Lance. And I know you guys left me out of the bold prediction, but my bold prediction for this season is that the 49ers will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. It's that's cool. How confident I am in this 49ers team and the development of Trey Lance because of who's doing it, Kyle Shanahan, and what's around him, the supporting cast. You're talking about a top five run game, a top five skill position core, and a top five defense. All the elements are there for Trey Lance to be successful, and the thing that Trey Lance brings is a couple of new dimensions to the offense. The vertical passing game, we saw that in the preseason game with the bomb he threw to Danny Gray, and then the quarterback as a focal point of the running game. Kyle Shanahan hasn't had either one of those things since he got to San Francisco. So now you're talking about giving one of the best play callers, one of the most creative play designers, a weapon like this under center to go along with all the other weapons he has. Look out for the rest of the NFL. The 49ers are about to show up in a big way.
Bart Scott, Trey Lance, Weapon X?
No, I spoke about this a little bit, right? You know, I said this is very similar to when Jim Harbaugh came out with Colin Kaepernick, right? And it was really Kaepernick was just throwing bombs or play action bombs to wide open guys because, you know, you think about Kyle Shanahan and his ability to kind of, you know, schedule, as Matt Hasselbeck would say, schedule completions. Right, and now you talk about now being able to add the 11th man, you know, kind of like that quarterback sweep that they used to have with Cam Newton, also the quarterback sweep that they used to have with Colin Kaepernick when they went to the Super Bowl that one year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where Trey Lance is going to also, he's going to have to make some plays. And, you know, everybody kind of was delighted with the 75-yard, you know, bomb, you know, in the exhibition game. But that doesn't mean that that's going to be able to do that against high-pressure situations where guys are blitzing him. He's going to struggle at times. But you want to, you kind of think that he can have a similar season to what Jalen Hurts had last year as far as being a runner that can maybe come with 700, 800 yards rushing and maybe throw for 3,000 yards but kind of lead the league as far as rushing as a team because now the quarterback is a major component of your run game, even though I think Lamar Jackson will lead the league in rushing as far as that standpoint in the Ravens.
All right, as we get to some calls here, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, we do have one caller who thinks Chris Canty's crazy. Wilson is in New Jersey. Wilson.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, listen, man, I love Chris Canty, man. You know, he was a Giants fan for 45 years, but whatever he's smoking, if he can send me something in the mail, because what the hell is he talking about, man? This kid hasn't played a full college season, and now he's an MVP candidate?
Yeah.
I mean, I know, listen, when you have a platform and then radio, you can say whatever you want, but, I mean, everything's got to have a limit, man.
I mean, yeah.
I mean,
MVP may be a bit much, But I think maybe he would take that back and tone that down a little bit. What he's saying is he could have like a Pro Bowl caliber type of season, a Lamar Jackson type of season as far as being able to really have, you know, 800 yards rushing. Because remember, in college, one thing he could do very well is run the football. Really elusive, a big guy, hard to bring down in space. He can be like Josh Allen was his first couple of years, where he's just, you know, throwing to, like, you know, play action, but, you know, really, you know, running the ball effective. And then those safeties and linebackers ultimately have to creep up. And that's where you have the easy passes behind the linebackers on the slants and digs and easy routes like that.
You know, again, MVP might be a stretch, but can he have an impact on a team that could go to the Super Bowl and NFC Championship game again? Yeah. Yeah, he certainly can because of the weapons and, of course, the coaching and the system that they have there. Luke is in South Dakota, and Bart, he has a hot take on Trey Lance. Go ahead, Luke.
All right. So I want to preface this. I'm a fan of South Dakota State University, North Dakota State's number one rival. And I know the level he played college against. It's not good. Like, what are we basing all this Trey Lance hype off of? A handful of handful of programs last year and a bunch of college games against guys who are going to be accountants for the rest of their life. Like, am I crazy for thinking Trey Lance just isn't – we have nothing to base all this hype off of. You know who else there was – you know who else passed the eye test like Trey Lance? Jamarcus Russell. That's all I got. Thank you.
Wow. Now, listen, I don't know if you want to go that hard. First of all, Jamarcus Russell went to LSU, a big program. Now, when you think about, you know, I think about Josh Allen. Josh Allen came from a team that Wyoming that didn't play stiff competition, but he had a strong arm and he can run the football. And when I see Trey Lance, I see the similar skill set. Now, can he come out and learn how to be a more accurate quarterback than Josh Allen early in his career? He's definitely going to be throwing to better receivers. Before, you know, Josh Allen got Stephon Diggs, he struggled. He struggled with accuracy, went and got him a number one receiver. Deebo Samuel is already a number one receiver. George Kittle is already an elite top five type of talent. And you talk about having the best left tackle in the game, so his blind side is going to be covered, so he's going to have more time to process. Because of that, I think you're going to get better results earlier on.
All right, we continue with the calls on this at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Look, it's a really good team. It's a great roster. It's certainly a terrific defense, and they've got the coaching. They have been there to a Super Bowl and then to the NFC Championship game and all that stuff. And the guy that got him there is Jimmy G, who's not going to be playing for them. So for Trey Lance, I mean, all eyes on him as they moved up to get him. They got him, and now they think he's ready to take over. And there's a lot of intrigue about what he can be in that system. And some people think MVP candidate, and the rest of us think, you know what, maybe let's just see him play, because the lack of experience exposes during the regular season, and none more, Bart, you understand this better than anybody, none more than once we get to the cold weather months, because that's when it starts to get serious. Also, when it gets serious in the baseball season is when we get closer to the cold weather months. We're seeing a couple of teams struggle, and one of them being the Yankees struggle badly right now. But one player who has been one of the biggest issues for this team heard the boos and answered those boos the right way that you can. There's always a right way and a wrong way to do things when you're getting booed by the fans. What you'll hear next is the right way to handle it. You hear that and more coming up next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
We're jamming, Bart Scott. Are we jamming?
We jam on. Jam it on top of that red. Jam on.
Only you butcher the lyrics and still make it sound funny. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Hate it, say ESPN. And it's funny how I go like this. We jam in, Bart? Like, I don't even say it right.
We jam on.
We jam on.
It's like ja and ya at the same time.
We jam on. We jam on.
We jam on.
We jam on.
Jamming on,
I hope you like jamming too. I didn't do that well at all. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your calls. We're going to get to them in a moment. A lot of people want to discuss Trey Lance, including, by the way, as we played for you before, Chris Canty on Get Up this morning. And him, you know, going all in on Trey Lance.
Oh, he's
feeling
bold.
Like, you know, the impact he can have. And Canty texts you and I during the break, I ain't toning nothing down. So I said what I said about Trey.
Okay.
So he's dug in. He believes.
Hope he look like that. Don't look like Cordell Stewart.
And then we had one caller who thought that Candy was crazy.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the middle. MVP, I think he was just overspeaking. I think he's saying he can be a weapon.
I think that they won't miss a beat, maybe, and maybe they'll be even a little
more
bit better
but
because
way.
He can do more. Right.
They'll but do it a different
his
way.
Lack of experience would concern me at the very least. Sorry. But a lot of people want to sound off on this, so we go to Dylan in Illinois on it. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
All right, so first of all, I just want to address the fact that I feel like I lied to the screener when I said that I watched Trey Lance play college football. I don't think anybody really watched him play college football when he only played like 10-11 games. And if I'm not mistaken, half of them were like that weird spring ball stuff that we were doing because of COVID.
Yeah. We played one game the 1 year, and because of COVID, and the biggest season he had was when he was like a freshman.
Yeah,
which nobody's watching
and
that.
So,
what was his football?
So here's my thought on it. All right, so I'm a first of all, I also Bart as a gateway guy. You know, it's the Valley now.
Oh yeah,
but you hear people talking about the lower level of talent that he played against, and it's totally true. Even though the Valley is like the best conference among the FCS, I feel like.
Yeah.
Biased as an Illinois State fan. And
Max
I've watched North Dakota State just tear my team up forever, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I don't think people are talking about enough with Trey Lance is like, yes, he's got some weapons and some skills and some things that could make him a quality player in the NFL. But part of the lack of competition that he played against has to do with the size of the guys that he was up against too, you know, like I'm 6 foot 220 pounds, albeit a soft 220, and I'm built like the linebackers that were chasing him down in college. It is going to be such a night and day difference when he starts seeing these big, powerful, fast men
come
at him in real live game action at the NFL level that I don't know if he'll be prepared for.
But Dylan, he is seeing it every day in practice. He's playing against one of the best defenses in practice.
Yeah, but they can't hit him. But to your point, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, me coming from that as well, and they're like, oh, man, you know, you're tackling, you know, guys that, you know, aren't going to make it in the league when I was in the Gateway Conference. But I also tell them I ain't had no great teammates either. Right, so like I had guys in my face. You know, I had guards in my face. Nobody was holding the jump throughs. I was a one-man wrecking crew. So when I got there and actually somebody actually did their job and did what they were supposed to in front of me because they were such a talented player, it was like, wow, this is
great point.
Actually easier than what I'm used to having to run around and you know, I'm the only guy that's in the top 11 on the field and there's 22 guys. And I'm the only one from our side that they would pick, right? So, like, you know, that helps you as well because now he's going to have guys that know how to run crisp routes. He's going to have guys that know how to get open. He's going to know guys that know how to sit in zones. All the things that sometimes some of the receivers that he probably played with had no idea how to do the nuance and do the minute small things that make, you know, you go from good to great.
It's amazing how it actually gets easier when you play with better players.
Can I tell people who come from the conference we come from? I mean,
go.
You got Rodney Harris, you got Brandon Jacobs, you got Kurt Warner. Like that Gateway Conference is usually for guys that got kicked out of the big schools or had to drop down because of grades or did something and got kicked out. I mean, so it's a competitive place to play because it's the first place people go when they need to transfer before the transfer portal was so easy to do. You can always drop down.
Yes. Imagine if the transfer portal was there for you. You wouldn't have stayed all that whole time at SIU, right? I mean, I can't imagine.
Especially
you
with these NIL deals, man. I would have had to go somewhere and get paid.
Let's go to Dallas and talk to Trey, who wants to talk about Trey Lance.
Hey, what's up, Han and Bart? What's up,
good?
My brothers? How y'all doing?
Good, good.
All right. What's happening?
Hey, man, I just wanted to say this right here. Chris Canty, look what he done started. I'm over here shaking my head. I'm driving my truck. Chris Canty, tell him to stay off the weed. Like Stephen A. State. Because, for one, you got to look at this right here, Bart. And I know you are a thinking man, and you can really look at and put things in perspective. Okay, for instance, you got Jalen. You got Jalen Hurts. That's my boy, because I'm from Dallas, but I like the Philadelphia Eagles. And then you got to look at Jalen. He got his second year in his system. Trey Lance, This man has not played a full season. You got Kyler Murray. You got a few other young and up-and-coming quarterbacks that have been in a system. They have been with their team. They have played through full year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Chris Canty already want to crown this man as an MVP? Man, come on. Tell him to stop it, because now you're about to have everybody calling me and talking about Trey Lance. And this needs to stop. Now, if anything, they need to be talking about Jalen Hurts, because y'all see what Hurts got. You see what he didn't put in for the year. You see what he's ready to do. He's ready to take off like a rocket ship. And I love the boy's continuity. I love his energy. But this Trey Lance, this got me puzzled. That's almost them sitting back talking about Dak, or the Cowboys talking about Dak Prescott. We need this. We got this. We got that. But every year is always a problem. Man, every time I be sitting back, y'all got to take this out. I be sitting back and I see a Cowboy fan. I'm like, what happened? We didn't have this. But look.
The excuses.
The Eagles, we don't got no excuses. We ain't taking none of that. I'm going to hang up for now. I love y'all so. Keep doing what y'all doing. Hey, I'm a great big fan of you guys.
Appreciate you, Trey, and safe driving for you. How did I know, though, that he's driving, obviously he's from Dallas, that this was going to circle back to the Cowboys somehow, some way?
It always does, right?
Always does.
But it's crazy, because when you look at Jalen Hurts, like, will he be good? Yes, he arguably has one of the best rosters in football.
Mm-hmm.
But he just leaves a little bit more to be desired. I don't know if his ceiling is even as high as Dak Prescott. I think he could be better. He could be good, but I don't know if he can be Dak Prescott good. I don't know if he'll
ever be. But does Jalen Hurts have to be great for the Eagles to be great?
Man, this is a team that won the Super Bowl.
But Dak does have to be great for the Cowboys to be great.
That's true. That's because Jalen Hurts is something that Dak isn't. Cheap. So, like, they're able to go out and get A.J. Brown and still stand underneath the salary cap. They're able to make a lot of moves because he's making nothing, right? He's just playing for the opportunity. I just think at the end of the season, they may realize that, you know, he may not be the guy that they need to try and get over the top. They might need a little bit more from the quarterback position, and they can have an opportunity to reset the clock on their quarterback as well to keep the team around them veteran and ready to go by, you know, simply just using those two first-round draft picks and taking either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. I think you get the same productivity from them as far as their floor compared to Jalen Hurts and his ceiling. And wow. I think he's going to have a good record and all that, but I think at the end of the day they're going to realize that, listen, just like they did with Jimmy G, we won a lot of games, but he wasn't a major, major part, at least not as major of a part as you want a quarterback that you're going to give $40 million to be.
All right, we got more of your calls on this on 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Barton Howe. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Coming up, we have more of your calls. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. Oh, here it is. Bart's favorite new song.
You're going to hear it tonight.
You know they're using this like in every sport now? It's just become like Seven Nation Army now of like sports.
Yeah, man.
Like I said, I like it. Edwin Diaz's entrance, I like it. I just don't need Mr. and Mrs. Met with a fake trumpet on the field. I don't need that.
Man,
Up in the Shea Bridge with all the fans. Do it
there. That's for the kids.
You don't need to be
man.
On the damn field. No. Get off the field.
That's for the kids, man.
Good. Be up with the kids at the Shea Bridge or something like that. Out with the seven-line army or something.
They should have the Mr. and Mrs. Met and all their kids kind of like lined up when they come out and hold their hands out. And they playing the trumpet.
Little mascots of little kids with the big baseball head.
they playing the trumpets. And like then Mr. and Mrs. Met playing trumpets, and they go and hit all the little kids, like 20 of them. Like, they be like, Mr. and Mrs. Met like rabbits. They kind of like make a bunch of balls.
But while you have this, you know, the Timmy trumpets and everything like that, this triumphant entrance into games for Edwin Diaz. Although yesterday, 13-1, not good. Carrasco getting hurt, not good. But I don't know, what horns, guys, would you play when Aaron Hicks comes up to bat? Like, wouldn't it just be like the...
that's a trumpet. That's a trumpet.
That's all you would get at that point. Maybe taps at this point, right? Because his career is circling the drain. But I'll say, look, he is in the struggle. 2 of 22 in his last six games. 5 for 12 August. a 5-for-12 August. And then last night was really like it's when the nightmare really starts to become a reality.
Yeah.
Like, this is where, like, Freddie finally meets you in your nightmare. And it's not just the fact that they've got bases loaded and he can't – he dribbles one for a double play to end the inning, which the boos come out. But in the previous half inning, Gerrit Cole's trying to be a stopper, make it happen, shut this thing down, let's get a win. And instead, fly ball to center, and Hicks just gets lost like a toddler in the mall, can't get the ball, and it lands, and of course, the run scores. But after the game, I will say this. Hicks handled the negativity and the boos the way you have to handle it.
When the crowd gets on you like they have been, does that make it any harder to bounce back?
I guess, you know, I'm out there trying to compete, you know, and help this team win. And obviously it's not, you know, nice to hear boos, but, you know, when you're having a season the way that I am, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, especially around here. And they want results.
They expect results. That's the way it goes, Bart, around here.
You know what he signed up for.
Exactly. That's what it's about. We're back.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So, yes, Yankees struggle. They have been one of the worst teams in baseball since the All-Star break, and that is just sad. Shut out back-to-back games for the first time since September of 2016, Bart. Brutal. All of it.
Can I get back on track, man, before you know.
Come on.
Well, they're not going to get caught by the Blue Jays. They're not going to get caught.
Well, I mean, they're up.
They're going to get the first round bye.
They're up 9 or 10 games at this point, but they still. August, it's better than this happening. September, of course, but it's somehow, some way, they got to get it right. You see it, like, Hicks is throwing things in the dugout now. Rizzo's breaking stuff in the dugout. Like, the frustration's starting to boil over. We had David Cohen on the show earlier, and among the things we talked about with David Cohen about on the MLB, one of the things he did kind of say was, you know, maybe they need to call up one of these young guys who's mashing right now in the minors just to give them a little juice.
Why the hell is Floreal? He was supposed to be like the great outfielder forever. If he was as good as they said in the outfield, wouldn't he be able to move Judge back?
That's what you're waiting. You're just waiting to see if
this dude got
to
be 40 now.
No, I know. He's got to be 40.
What the hell?
But still, Coney said it. I think it's a sentiment going around, and it's a team that was the best in baseball, and now they have just been awful since the All-Star break. 8-16. It's just worse by a team that had the best winning percentage since the All-Star break. I mean, that's really bad. So we'll see where things go with them. But with you, everybody wants to talk about Trey Lance and the expectations of him becoming an MVP this year, in his first year as a starter for the 49ers. Kevin in Omaha, what do you think of this?
All right. First of all, everybody going off about how it's some bold prediction or some great take about, he's going to get 49ers to the Super Bowl. They should have been in the Super Bowl. They were a dropped interception away from it. They should have already been in there with a quarterback that everyone calls serviceable. Any starting quarterback should be able to get that great roster to the Super Bowl. And secondly, for what you gave up for him, he damn well better get you to the Super Bowl and win multiple MVPs. You mortgaged your whole future for him. So I don't understand why it's this great, I got a bold prediction for you. Trey Lance is going to get him to the Super Bowl and win MVP. That's what he's supposed to do for what they gave up for. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Kevin, that's a fantastic take, but I will say, though, it is a bold take. Like, maybe eventually you could say that about Trey Lance, but to say that about his first year as a starter, that's why it seems like a bold take. Idaho, we got Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thanks. I was born and raised in the Bay Area, huge Niner fan. You probably won't find one much bigger. But I don't understand, after two games last year where he looked like dog crap, and then all season long in practice, it was rumored that he looked like crap. And now he has one preseason game.
That's all it takes.
And everybody's talking about Super Bowl MVP and getting there. And look, I want nothing more than to have that happen. But let's go with week 3, week 4 in the season, and he's excelling. Then let's start talking.
You got
everybody jumping on the bandwagon last year. everybody's talking about, what are the Niners going to do? They should keep Garoppolo. What are they going to do? And now it's been 1 week after one preseason week. We're talking about Super Bowl MVP? Come on.
That's how we do it. Yeah, well, you got it, Dan. That's also a good take. You know,
yeah, it is.
We're jumping the gun on this kid, but there's a lot of anticipation and excitement, Bart, in San Francisco about him.
You got to feel more excited about him than watching Jordan Love throw three interceptions. Like, hold
on. Oh, my God.
Aaron Rodgers, we might have to sign Aaron Rodgers to another 3-year extension. Like, damn, this dude is.
If you're Aaron Rodgers, you can't even trade the dude. Like, this is working out. It couldn't work out any more perfect than this.
Three interceptions.
Three. Like, it's not like he hasn't been in the league. And he plays all the time. He should be the preseason vet MVP. At this point, all the preseason games that he gets. And that was not a good debut for him in the preseason, right?
Man, like
that, that's a concern. Aaron Rodgers could walk away at any moment now. Yeah. We have no idea, and you do not have a plan after him.
Yeah, but
you have no clue.
I'm telling you, I think that's what Minnesota and that's what Chicago and Detroit is laughing at. Like, yep, that train ain't never late.
That day's
gonna be
coming.
Gone in a year or two. And when that day comes, oh my goodness.
Right.
Oh, all that smoke, all that you own us, oh, we gonna own you then. We gonna own you. Yeah. Jordan Love, oh yeah.
Just wait for it, Bart. Wait for it. The Packers trade.
Keep that same energy.
For Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is the new backup to Aaron Rodgers. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.